Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Holy Ghost Fire Radio. I am Pastor Dean Judkins, along with teacher Charlie Sims. Charlie, welcome to another show.
Good to be here.
Good to be here. Charlie has wolfed down his dinner. He is ready to go. Charlie, today we are going to be talking about raptured or rescued.
Interesting subject.
It's going to be interesting. I think we are going to play with people's theology. I think that we're going to stir the pot a little bit here. And I think we're even going to upset a few people because we're going to go against some teachings that they've been taught probably since the beginning of their Christianity.
Probably so.
But then again, grab your Bibles, grab paper and pen. Don't take what we have to say, our word for it. We're going to point you in the direction of Scripture. We're going to give you our interpretation of Scripture and what we believe it means. And then you can go ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. And then we believe that He will bring you in the right direction. Right, Charlie?
That's right.
All right. Charlie, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity again that you've given us to come to radio. And Lord, we ask that those that are listening, Lord, that they'll open their hearts and their minds, Lord, and that they'll receive your word, that you by your spirit will make it quick and make it alive and make it real. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. This show probably is going to go two shows, possibly three deep. We want to have people, if they want to call in, if you disagree with us, that is fine. All we ask is that if you call in and say, no, we believe in this, we believe in that, have something, some meat, something to back it up scripturally, and then we'll discuss it. The number here is 646-787-8364. And again, the call-in number is 646-787-8364. And it sounds like Brother Charlie is hard at work. It sounds like you're throwing some coffees off, Charlie.
And, yes, I am.
All right, so he's getting prepared for the show. All right, now I want to start off with a couple of definitions. We've called the show Rapture or Rescued. The word rapture simply means the transporting of believers to heaven at the second coming of Christ. And the word rescue means to save someone from a dangerous or distressing situation. Would you agree on those definitions, Charlie?
I think that's a common definition, but let's remember that the word rapture does not appear in the Bible. The only
that's
place
right.
It appears in the only place it appears is in the Latin Vulgate.
There you go. And Charlie is absolutely right. Nowhere in the Word of God have I ever seen the word rapture or raptured. So, with this, I guess people are already starting to see where this is going. We're going to talk about a few people. We can't read the entirety of the scriptures. I will give you the scriptures to actually go to. Well, let's talk about the man, Noah. And that is in Genesis chapter 6 through chapters 9. Charlie, what can you tell us that you know of reading the scriptures a little bit about Noah?
Well, Noah was chosen by God. He was counted as the only righteous man on the earth at that time. Because he feared the Lord, and the Lord chose him to make an ark. Took him a long time to make it, and he and his family built the ark, got it prepared, got it ready, because he went around and he preached. He says, you know, it's going to rain, and they laughed and they mocked and all those things that they did.
Had they ever seen rain before this?
We don't have any indication in Scripture that they had seen rain before. We don't know for sure. Probably boats were fairly common because there were rivers and things like that. They probably had some mode of transportation over the water, but they had never seen a boat that big. Plus, it was built on dry land, and they didn't understand what rain was. So they were, they were confused about that. But the Lord said it was. Noah kept trying to tell them it's going to come a deluge. It's going to come a flood, and there's going to be big trouble. But they didn't want to pay it any attention.
Very good. So you said an interesting word. Noah was preparing something.
Yes. Yes, he was.
And according to Scripture, it's roughly about 100 years that he's telling people that, about what's coming. And he's building, like you said, an ark, and it's humongous. It's a huge, huge ship. And there's no water or sea really anywhere around. So the people are thinking he's kind of lost his mind. He's a little cuckoo. And, here he is saying all these things. And the world is looking at him like, this man has some, he needs some psychiatric help. But again, Noah is told by God he's the only righteous man, which means he was in right standing with God. God has told him to do something, so he's out, he's preparing that ark. And that word prepare means he's make something ready for use or consideration.
Yes he was.
So he is making something ready to be used by God. How many times have we read in Scriptures that you and I are to be prepared for the coming of the Lord? We're to prepare ourselves for ministry, or the way to do things, we're to prepare. And that word actually means we're to make ourselves ready for use or consideration by God.
That's right.
So,
exactly.
All right, now, so here, mankind has become evil, because what's God going to do to the earth, Charlie?
Oh, he's going to cause a flood to come upon the earth, and he's going to destroy it. And he's going to destroy everything that's living.
So he's going to judge evil mankind, isn't he?
Yes, he is. The only thing that we have record of that probably survived were the fish, because there were no fish on the ark.
That's right. So God is judging the earth. Why is he judging the earth? Because mankind has become evil.
The earth was filled with violence.
That's right. Now, you notice here, Charlie, let's start right here. Could God, being God, could he have raptured Noah and the people right up into heaven? Could he have done that?
He could have, but he didn't.
He didn't. What does he do here?
He gave Noah and his family a way to be protected and sheltered in the ark during this time of great tribulation upon the earth. That was this judgment. They were in a safe place, surrounded by the ark, with provision for that time period that they were to be there. So they not only prepared, but there was provision made for them during that time.
Right. So instead of rapturing Noah, the animals, and his family out, what does he do? He had Noah prepare or get ready, and by doing so, God rescues him from that destruction that came upon mankind in the earth. Would you agree?
I agree with that, because that's exactly what took place.
So God rescues Noah.
Yes,
I found it interesting that salvation, or the word sozo, means to be saved, delivered, healed, and there's another word in there, rescued.
Yes.
Here we're starting to paint a picture, Charlie, of the characteristics or the character of God and how he operates.
Yes.
All right. So now, write these scriptures down. Again, these are four chapters, and we're in Joshua chapters 2-6, and we are talking about Rahab. Do you know the story of Rahab at all?
Yes.
Can you explain what you do know? Briefly.
Well, the spies went to check out Jericho, and while they were there, they ran into Rahab, who protected them.
And, now, who was Rahab? Who was Rahab?
Rahab was a harlot.
There you go.
Okay. Rahab was a harlot. In other words, she was a prostitute, if you want to use that word, in Jericho. But the men of Israel came and they were spying out Jericho, and she took them and hid them from what they were involved in, and made sure that they were protected and that they wouldn't be caught. And then they told her that they were going to destroy the city. But if she let out this scarlet thread, actually what it was, a scarlet rope, that she would be spared. And so Rahab was spared, who, by the way, was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. And Joshua married her, and Rahab was in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So Joshua sends out two of his scouts, two spies, to secretly view the land of Jericho. Charlie, why were they going to Jericho? What were they going to do?
Well, that was to possess the land. That was the first stop after they crossed the River Jordan to begin to possess the land was Jericho. And they knew that if they got Jericho, that the Lord would be with them to possess all the land that God had promised them.
That's right. And they were to destroy everything but the silver, the gold, the oxen in there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
They would
That's
have
right.
killed every man, woman, and child in there.
That's right.
So would you say that judgment was coming upon Jericho?
Yes, it was. Judgment was coming, and God himself was behind the judgment. It's an interesting story there, because when they came and they circled Jericho once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they circled it seven times. 6 and 7 makes 13, and we think of 13 as a bad number, but 13 also means complete victory, because when they blew the trumpet, the walls fell flat. They didn't fall flat out. They fell straight down into the ground, and they were able to take the city.
Hmm. Can you imagine that? I can. That's amazing. So Joshua sends scouts to scout the city so that they can overtake or destroy the people in the city.
Yes.
Now, the king of Jericho, it says here in verse 2, knows that there's a couple of people in there scouting the land, and he knows something is up. So he goes and he asks Rahab, hey, do you know anything about what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So later on in verse 12, Rahab goes to Joshua and says, will you save me and my household? Now, this is after she let them out of the gates through the wall,
yeah,
through the baskets. So she saved those two men from being killed.
Yes, she did.
And by doing so, Joshua swore her life for his and her dad's and her dad's
mm-hmm.
family.
Yeah.
And like you said, this is not a Jewish lady. This is not a woman who's in right standing with God. Although I do believe when she saved their lives, that definitely helped.
Yes, it did.
And so Rahab protects them. She asks for her life and her dad's life. And then Joshua goes into the city. And before he takes the city, he gets her and her family out. So he rescues her.
That's right.
Then they go and they take the city. They kill everybody in it. And then the word says that Rahab goes on to live with the Israelites. And ready for this? She becomes as one of them.
Yes, she does.
So she was never raptured. She was protected and rescued.
Yes, she was.
All right. Now, with that, let's go to Genesis chapter 19. And again, it's the entire chapter of Genesis 19. And Charlie, why don't you talk to us about a little bit about what you know of Lot?
Genesis 19. Lot. Lot was an interesting character. He and Abraham were related. And you can go into a whole lot of stories about it. But Lot pitched his tent down toward Sodom. And Sodom was an evil city. And there came a time when the Lord sent angels into Sodom and said, we're going to destroy the city, because they went to visit Lot. And they said, we're going to destroy the city. Okay? And I mean, Lot had gotten so perverted by that time, he even offered his daughters to the people outside. And that didn't work, because the people outside wanted the angels. They didn't want the daughters. They wanted the angels. But anyway, the time came, and they got Lot and his wife and the children out of the city and said, don't look back, because God is going to destroy this city because of their wickedness. Not only was it wickedness, but it was their pride in what they were doing and all the evil things they were involved in. But Lot was taken out of the city. He was not raptured. He did not go to someplace else. He was taken outside the city, and his wife turned to look back at the city. She was turned into a pillar of salt. But Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire. So Lot was rescued. He was not raptured.
There you go. So the angels come to destroy the city.
Mm-hmm.
Or the angels came to, rescue Lot. They mm-hmm. take him away to safety. Lot was protected from the people of Sodom. Lot and his family are rescued, not raptured, from the judgment of God of Sodom.
That's right.
So Sodom's destroyed. Lot and his children are rescued. The only one who was left was Lot's wife for disobedience.
That's right.
So she left the earth and went straight to hell. Now, with that, there's three instances where God could have raptured people up, but he did not. He rescued them. So we're kind of seeing a characteristic of God here and how God does certain things. So when his people or something, he's going to judge the world or a city or an area, he'll rescue or protect his people. So now with that, let's talk a little bit about Enoch. Here's where it's really going to start to get interesting. And we're in Genesis chapter 5, and we'll actually read this. This will be 22 to 24. So Genesis 5, 22 to 24. Would you like to read that, brother?
Let me get right over there. 5, 22 to 24. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
All right. Charlie, how many times have you heard Christians, God-fearing, loving Christians, say that Enoch was raptured?
Real often.
Okay.
Because they use that as an analogy of the church being raptured. Because they say that Enoch was taken to heaven.
Now, that word walk is halak. That's the Hebrew word for it. And that means to go or to travel. That word walk is the same walk that Noah had and that other Bible greats in the Old Testament had. It was their walk with God. So he's simply talking about his relationship with God. And that has nothing to do with the rapture. Now, Enoch had the same walk with God. So where is Enoch? Where was Enoch's body transformed? Now, before we get into anything, because like you said, people here say that Enoch was raptured, but we're going to show you a few things in Scripture. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5.
Hebrews 11:5. All right.
This is known as the Hall of Faith.
Yes, it is.
Charlie, let's have you read verse 5, if you would.
Hebrews 11:5, that ties in directly with it, and it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Now, if you were to read that, you'd be like, ah, see, Enoch was raptured. God took him, he raptured him up. All right, well, okay, you might have a little bit of a case there. So with that, let's have you read verse 13.
And verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That tells me that Enoch died.
Yeah, what is the word these all? Who are they talking about there?
All those that were listed there in chapter 11, the Hall of Fame.
There you go. So they all died. They all what in the faith? They all died.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Scripture, Enoch, he what happened to him?
Mm-hmm. He died.
He died. So clearly says all died in the faith. This would include Enoch. And then he had not received the promises. What's the promises that are being talked about here?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to verse 39,
By faith, they passed through the Red Sea and dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned.
No, Hebrews 11:39.
Oh, 11:39. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
39. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
So what is this promise that they're talking about here? You know what the promise is? Well, with that, again, they received not the promise. The promise that they're talking about here is the promise that Jesus made about the kingdom of heaven. Now,
yeah.
Charlie, here's a question I have for you, and this is where your history and all the studying that you've done will come in. You can help answer some questions here. How could Enoch have been bodily raised with God when his body has to be renewed in order to stay with God? And then how could his body be renewed if Jesus Christ hasn't died and risen up and presented his blood and all the saints had come from paradise up into heaven? How can he be in heaven if nobody else was up there yet?
He couldn't have been. He was probably in a place called Sheol on the side of Abraham's bosom.
Right. So he was in the bowels of the earth.
He was in the bowels of the earth. But let me read this little portion right here about Enoch, okay? It says the Bible does not say that Enoch went to heaven when he was translated. Instead, it says he was not found. Certainly, Enoch was translated, but what does the word translate mean? This is key. Strange as it seems, nowhere in all the Bible does translate mean to make immortal. The original Greek word for translate is metathemamia, according to Strong's Concordance, it signifies transport, exchange, change sides. In the same Greek word is rendered carry over in Acts 7:16. Here we read that after Jacob died, his body was carried over, transported, translated to Sichem, where he was buried. That's what your Bible says. Jacob was transported or translated to the place of burial. That is why Moses said that God took Enoch, God removed, translated him, so that he was not found. God took Enoch and buried him.
There you go. Now, let's go and reread Genesis 5:24. We're going to try to re-educate the people who have had things pounded into their brains by preachers that perhaps misunderstood Scripture and or gone along with the flow of what everybody else was saying. We're going to show you another thing here about Enoch. I'll reread Genesis 5:24.
Okay.
And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So, Charlie, Enoch wasn't anymore. This means that Enoch ceased to exist. He died.
Yes, he did.
Verse 23 says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
Yes.
So what's all days mean? All the days of his life, right?
That's right.
So if I were to die at 80 years old, and Dean loved God for all 80 of his years. Do you understand what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
So, and then when you go and you say God took him, that word took is the Hebrew is, I'm going to say this wrong, lakah, L-A-Q-A-H, and that means taken in death.
Mm-hmm. does.
So Enoch had his breath taken from him by God. He died.
That's right. Yes, he did.
Now, Charlie, you know we're going to get the messages and stuff. Let's turn over to John 3:13.
Oh.
Boy, don't you just love it when you come up against somebody's theology and you actually study the Word of God and you see what His Word says and what's being preached.
And
I'll have you read 3:13 if you would, my friend.
John 3:13. Let me get there. Hold on. My Bible pages are sticking together.
Yes.
John 3:13, and it says, 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Now, when he says no man, what's Jesus saying here?
He said nobody's going to heaven. Nobody.
So how could Enoch go to heaven if Jesus said no man goes to heaven? Nobody had gone up there yet.
He couldn't.
So that kind of blows a hole in that theory. Is Jesus a liar?
No.
No. So obviously, Enoch was not raptured or taken up into heaven. Now people are starting to say, no one went to heaven before Christ ascended. Jesus was the first resurrected from the dead to heaven, and that's Acts 2:34, 26:23, and Revelation 24:6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Charlie, that's really blown away. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12.
5:12. Wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Death has passed on to who?
All men.
So everybody dies.
Yes.
There you go. Well, was Enoch special?
No.
Does it say that, most men die? It says all to me.
Mm-hmm.
So Enoch had to have what? He had to have died.
Mm-hmm.
Had to.
He did.
Death comes to all men. This includes Enoch.
Well, that was what Paul said in Hebrews a little further down. He said, all these died.
That's right. That's right. Now, here's where it's going to get even better. Let's talk about Elijah. This is where we're really going to get the comments right here.
Oh, probably.
Lordy. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of key verses here. The scriptures, if you're following along, write them down as 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 13. I'm not going to read all 13 to save us a little bit of time. But verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. So we know that Elijah is going to go up to heaven by how, Charlie?
A whirlwind.
We'll discuss that in a minute. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here that I pray for you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. If Elijah knows he's going to be raptured, my first question is, why is he going to Bethel? All right, let's stop right there. And then verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master at the head of today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your own peace. Charlie, does that not say that the prophets and the sons' prophets there all knew that Elijah was going home to be with the Lord that day?
Elijah was translated, mm-hmm. but at this point, I don't think he died.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, and again, it doesn't say that he was going to die. It says he was going to be taken away.
He's going to be taken away. Yeah.
So to be taken away, I could be taken away and put into a FEMA camp, correct?
Yes, you could. Or you could be taken away.
That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to die.
That doesn't mean you're going to die. You could be taken to Florida or Georgia or wherever, but you could be translated or removed from one place to another.
There you go. All right, so now with that, let's go down to verse 4. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's gone from Bethel to Jericho. That's kind of interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of being like he was taken away from one place and brought to another. Are you starting to see a little bit of maybe a pattern here? Okay. And then they tell Elisha the same thing. Don't you know that he's going to be taken away today?
Yeah.
My master. All right. And then he says in verse 6, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray here, for the Lord is going to send me to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a guy that supposedly, according to most, is raptured up into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's going and making, you know, he's doing his farewell tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before he's raptured. And 50 men and the sons of the prophets went and stood afar off, and they stood by the Jordan. They stood by the Jordan to see him or to bid him farewell. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So now in verse 10, and he said, thou takest heart, again a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Here's where he said Elisha has to be with him and basically catch his mantle in order to get the double portion of the mantle or the anointing.
Yeah.
Now, verse 11, it came to pass as they still went on and talked, then behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taken away. This is where people say that he was taken or whisked away up into heaven.
Yes, that's right. They say that, but again, let's remember something. Paul describes three heavens. The first heaven is the stuff around us, the earth we breathe, that we can see. The second and third heaven are a spiritual dimension. And it says it was taken up into heaven. But the whirlwind took him up. But the whirlwind didn't take him up to God's throne.
Hmm. All right, now, Charlie, let's really blow him away here. This is your area. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles 21, 12 through 15. And I'll have you read and explain that.
2 Chronicles. Let me find it here. All right. I'm getting there. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles what now?
21. And it was 12 through 15.
And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Josiah Fat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa the king, but hast walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and hast also slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were four better than thyself. Behold, with great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day.
What's going on here?
Elijah wrote that about 10 years after he was taken up in the whirlwind.
So he wrote it from heaven, Charlie? Because he was raptured up into heaven.
No, he didn't. Enoch was translated to a different place. He went up into heaven, much like an airplane would go up today. It goes up into heaven. But the Lord used a whirlwind to pick him up and translate him from one place to another, just like he did in the New Testament with Philip. He picked him up by the Spirit and put him in a different place.
And that's absolutely truth. That is the truth. That's when he was talking to the man in the chariot from Ethiopia.
That's right. And the Lord, with the Spirit of God, picked him up and put him in a different place. He was translated. He was moved from one place to another because the ministry of Elijah was coming to an end. He knew it. Elisha knew it. The sons of the prophets knew it. And they knew that Elijah's ministry was coming to an end, and Elijah was going to be removed to another place. And it was time for Elisha to take over the work of the ministry, because what Elijah had done, he had fulfilled all he needed to do. And then we come down to this one right here, where we read in Scripture, it was about 10 years later that he wrote this to the king, and he told him what was going to happen to him.
How many messages do you think we're going to get on that one?
Probably quite a few. But again, if you don't study the Word and dig out the Word and look at it for what it says, because it will interpret itself, we miss so much by taking what men have said about Scripture without examining the Scripture for ourselves. We've got to look for the Scriptures.
Amen. All right, now, so did Elijah die?
No.
It doesn't say that he died here.
No.
All right, now I know what the next people are going to say. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, for his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came to touch them and says, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only.
And then verse 9 says,
Okay. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.
Now, you know what people are going to say? Well, wait a minute. Peter saw the vision of Moses and Elijah. So they had to have been raptured. What would you have to say about that?
They saw a vision. They saw a vision. A vision was revealed to them. Jesus was standing there, but there was a vision of Moses and Elijah. It's very significant because that was the culmination of the Law and the Prophets.
So, and they're going to say, well, what do you mean? Remember when we did the show on Samuel a couple weeks ago and Saul? And he was conjured up from Sheol. Is it possible that perhaps their spirits, because I don't think that was their fleshly bodies, to be honest with you. Could that have been the spirits of both Moses and Elijah?
I'm not sure about that one, Dean. It says the vision.
Okay.
And a vision is different than someone appearing like Samuel. They didn't say that it was a vision when Samuel appeared. They said it was a vision here. Jesus said, tell the vision to no man.
There you go. And so I brought that up for a specific reason, because you have to study what you're reading. And that word vision means vision, what you saw. You know what I mean? It didn't mean that they were physically there. It was a vision.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And you know that word transfigure means to transform into something more beautiful or elevated?
It means it comes from the word metamorphosis, metamorpho, which means metamorphosis, the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Transforming from the worm into a beautiful butterfly, though
That's right.
More beautiful, like you said.
Yes.
So, all right, now, so we painted a picture here, Charlie, of a characteristic of God and how he judges in the past, and then we kind of threw down the theory that Enoch and Elijah were both raptured. And according to Scripture, we know that Jesus himself said that no man come because he was the first one that was resurrected.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Now we're going to get into Charlie's forte. Charlie, we have 20 minutes, and we'll do this briefly. And if people have questions, again, call us at 646-787-8364. Even if you disagree with us, we're not going to be hostile. We'll just have you just try to prove your thoughts to us, according to Scripture. And we'll discuss it openly. And so, again, 646-787-8364. So, Charlie, when did this rapture, when did the rapture theory come into the church?
It came in around 1830. We can trace it back to that point in time. There were some key players in that. There was J.N. Darby, who is called the father of modern dispensationalism. But it goes back even before that, all the way back to the Francisco Rivera and Manuel Lacunza. One of them was in the 1500s, one of them was in the 1600s, where they wrote two theories. One was what they called preterism, where everything has already occurred, nothing else needs to be done. And the other was futurism, which everything was put way off in the future, way out yonder somewhere in the distance. And this is basically where your dispensational and rapture viewpoint comes from. Comes from futurism. And that was designed to take people's eyes off of what was going on in the Roman Catholic Church and to take their eyes off of the Pope. But around about 1830 was when this began to come into being because of the writings of Rivera, that it was found, it was discovered, a man named Maitland got involved in it, and then this was introduced to a man by the name of J.N. Darby, and then it was introduced to C.I. Schofield. And it became popularized through the Schofield Reference Bible. C.I. Schofield was put in contact with a man. I think that was Maitland at that time, from the Oxford Bible Institute, and they formed that company to publish his notes in the Schofield Reference Bible. And they also took these teachings to J.N. Darby and C.I. Schofield. They took these teachings to prophetic meetings around that time, and it became popular. And as that became popular, then it began to spread far and wide. And as it spread, it became accepted as, quote, new revelation and Bible truth. And from there, it began to be indoctrinated into the Christian community. And there were two primary Bible schools at that time that came into being. One was the Moody Bible Institute, and the other was the Dallas Theological Seminary. And they both taught and preached dispensationalism, Darbyism, and Schofieldism. And that was their theology. And it included the pre-tribulation rapture theory. It included everything that we hear of today. And just like I was reading today, you know, there were five biblical prophecies fulfilled this past week. Give me a break, okay? This is basically where it came from. And from there, when other, particularly out of the Moody Bible Institute, when that was started, they had their own printing company. And then as the Azusa Street Revival happened and Pentecostal denominations began to come into this, they didn't have, a lot of them didn't have the printing equipment that they needed, so they got it from publishers, people that were already printing, to print their literature, but included in that literature was Schofieldism and Darbyism. So that went through the Pentecostal churches, and it became widely accepted as the thing. So you have three basic theories of this. You have preterism, which says everything has already been done. You have futurism, which says it's way off out in the future. And then you have what we call the historical view, the reformers that came out of the Catholic Church that started the Reformation, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Huss, and a whole lot of others, Wycliffe and Tyndale, all those people, they began to see that something was very wrong with what was going on within the Roman Catholic Church. And so they began to write about it. They began to print the scriptures in the vernacular. They were all killed because of it. Luther wasn't killed, but he was sure harassed a lot. But because of the historical view says we take scripture for what it says, and we see it as an unfolding of God throughout history. It unfolds. So we had about 1,800 years plus of church history that's recorded that we know about, and there was no mention. There was only one faint mention in history that we know about. So there was really no mention of history about a pre-tribulation rapture, that God was going to take his people out of anything. All the way through scriptures, we have already indicated that the Lord prepares a place and he takes his people through it. When they got on the, when the Israelites, we had the mountains on one side, the sea on the other, and the Pharaoh and his chariots behind them, they had nowhere to go. But the Lord put a wall of fire between them and Pharaoh and blew a wind all night long. The Red Sea opened up and they went across on dry land. And when Pharaoh and his chariots chased them, they all drowned. And Noah, all of them drowned. When you read in scripture, when you read it in Matthew, it says, and the flood came and took them all away. But in Luke, it says, and the flood came and destroyed them all. One was taken and one was left. Who was taken and who was left? The wicked were taken and the righteous were left. Noah.
Now, doesn't Scripture tell us that two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left, two will be kneading bread, one will be taken and one will be left? Isn't the one taken the one that's going to be raptured?
No.
What does that mean?
The one taken is the one destroyed. Just like I said over in Luke chapter 17, it says, and the flood came and destroyed them all. The only ones that were left was Noah and his family.
There you go.
Ones that were left. So when one is taken and one is left, the one taken is the one that was the one that was destroyed or died. The one left is the one that was left living.
That's good stuff. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
That's a brief synopsis, but that's basically what it is.
That's right. And we have the teachings. He has a three-part series on our webpage. We can even send you the DVD if you're interested. But let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Okay.
And it says, I'm starting in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by your gathering together unto him, that ye be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as in the day of Christ is at hand. Ready for this? Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who knoweth let until be taken out of the way. So he's saying something here. Some things are going to happen. And he tells us not to be deceived. And I want to stop there just for a second. Charlie, how many times in your lifetime, and you've been born again for 44 plus years, how many times in your lifetime have you heard that the rapture is going to happen?
Oh, my goodness. Multiple hundreds.
How many times has it happened?
Zero.
Okay, and I've been born again 39 plus years. I was terrified as a young Christian that I was going to miss the rapture. I was absolutely terrified, you know, and I would try to work my salvation and stuff. That's not a good relationship with God, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, it isn't. He doesn't want you to operate out of fear. Fear comes from the devil. So I didn't hear hundreds of times. I've heard maybe 30, 40 times. I've heard the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, date. You know, and we know that no man knows the day or the hour. It took you a couple of years ago to sit and to make me sit down and for about 5 or 6 weeks study the scriptures. And you know what I saw, Charlie? That when Jesus returned, it says that every eye shall see the return of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So we're not disagreeing that Jesus is returning. That's not the issue here. We know that Jesus is coming back. The thing that we question, according to Scripture now, is that the body of Christ is going to be raptured out while trial and tribulations come upon the earth. The earth is judged. And if we go back, we just gave you a brief history in the Old Testament, which is a type or a shadow of the new. And the Bible says that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that Jesus never changes. So he's given us a type or a shadow of his personality and how he does things. Charlie, why would he change now and all of a sudden just rapture everybody out and then pull the Holy Ghost out of the earth, which if the Holy Ghost leaves the earth, can people come to Christ?
No.
No. It can't happen. These are all lies. And then it says, as we would hear the trumpet sounds of Jesus' return. Does that mean just a special few are going to hear it?
No.
No, the entire world is going to hear the trumpet blast.
And if I can, let me back up here into the book of Acts for just one moment. It was right before he ascended. And he said to this, right before he ascended, he said, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. When they therefore, that was the disciples, were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now you've got to remember they were asking this to begin with because they thought Jesus was going to come as the Messiah. He was going to come as king, and he was going to just take over everything. And that was one reason for the zealots and for all the stirrings that were going on in Jerusalem. Okay, but Jesus answered them and said this, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. We don't know. And we will not know till he comes back.
What about all these people that are saying, well, Jesus came to me in a dream? And the rapture is going to happen in 2017, and the rapture is going to happen in 2018, and the rapture is going to happen in 2019, and they're writing books about the rapture. And how come all this is going on?
Because they are deceived. They're passing on lies. It was just like the whole series of book that Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins did. They were all fiction, and they were all based upon a lie. And people bought those books by the millions. And it was based on a falsehood to begin with.
Do you think that perhaps there are several out there that do this and they write these books and they make these videos and stuff? Do you think maybe they don't really know much about the rapture, but they are interested in making lots of money?
That's a possibility, but I think some of them are honest in what they do. They really believe it because they've been indoctrinated in it. But I can tell you this from personal experience. I have never known anybody who changed their view from a historical viewpoint to a futurist viewpoint. Not a single one, but I've known many who have gone the other way once they began to open the scriptures and look at the scriptures for what the scriptures themselves say without some man's interpretation right there beside it.
Now, would you say that it's possible that the devil has constructed this lie about the rapture? Because I know by speaking with many people that they've heard the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, the rapture, and over the course of years, the rapture hasn't come. And then they get to a point where, you know what, you guys don't know anything. And if this is Christianity and the Christian faith, and you try scare tactics and all that, I don't want anything to do with it. And they go away or they fall away from the faith. Kind of just like the scripture says.
That's absolutely true, Dean, because they realize that what's going on is not the truth. They realize that this is just some sort of fantasy that somebody has conjured up. And when they see this, it puts a mark on our Christian faith, because if this keeps up, then they don't have a basis to really put their faith in, because they say we're going to be raptured out of here. And when they look back at history, you can find multiple hundreds of times where people have predicted the rapture of the church, and it hasn't happened yet, and it won't happen, and we won't know it till Jesus comes back. Because again, the scriptures, Jesus himself said, it's not for you to know the time or the season. It's in the Father's hands, and when it occurs, everybody will see it.
Now, they're going to use the scripture, Jesus comes as a thief in the night.
Yes, they are. They're going to use that. But again, if you go over and you look at the scriptures, it says, but that day shall not overtake you as a thief. Speaking of the return of the Lord.
That's right. That's right. So we got about 4 minutes left, Charlie. Do you want to ad lib or throw something else in there?
Well, there's much contained, and I would have to say that briefly, that these doctrines of dispensationalism and the pre-tribulation rapture and Schofieldism has been the biggest, if not, it has been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, falsehood propagated upon the church, because people are taught this stuff, and I've heard preachers say over and over and over again, you know, you've got to give more than your tithes. We got to get a bunch of money together. We've got to get the gospel out because Jesus could come back tomorrow. And I think all of that is nothing wrong with supporting ministry, but again, it's being used for the wrong reason. We need to prepare. We need to prepare hearts and minds. And the Lord says, "Occupy till I come." Not go out and try to say that the rapture's coming, but to occupy till I come. Keep doing what I told you to do till I come back. And when I come back, everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to know it. And when it occurs, it's going to be in the Father's time, not somebody's prediction.
Amen.
So it's been a big falsehood. It's been propagated on the church. And when I discovered that years ago, I said, wait a minute, we've gotten into a big mess here. And so many people are so hung up on this that they can't see beyond it.
Charlie, how many times were you booted out of a church or told not to teach on it?
Several. I've been asked to leave more than once, I can tell you that. And especially if I started talking about something like that. We don't want to go there, brother, you know. And it's just like you go into a church, you start talking about tithing and other things like that. They don't want you there.
Amen. All right, we got about 1:50 left. So I guess we can wrap it up there, Charlie. We've kind of, you know, just briefly covered some on it. And if you have, you know, if you have questions, go ahead and message us. Send us our new email is hgfc2017@gmail.com. It stands for Holy Ghost Fire Church 2017@gmail.com. And both either Charlie or I will get back to you. Well, Charlie, tomorrow night on Hour of Power, we're going to be talking about healing and deliverance.
Okay.
And Sunday, at Sunday service, I'm working on some things there, but I'm not 100% sure what we're going to do there. And next Tuesday, we'll be back on Blog Radio. And Wednesday, Charlie will be doing the Bible study. Thursday, we'll be doing radio again. And Friday, Charlie, we have the Holy Ghost Revival meetings here
in
Concord.
So
we're believing that God's going to move, the Holy Ghost is going to move, and we're going to see people get saved, delivered, and healed. So anything else, Charlie? We've got about 45 seconds.
I think we're good to go. It's good to talk about these things. We need to get them out into the open and see what the response will be, and see if the Lord, peradventure, the Lord will bring some more into the kingdom.
That's right. All right, well, we love you people. Thank you for listening. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.